The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour, all over the place, lots of good stuff. A lot of people asking, does this take Carl Lewis off the hook? No, Carl Lewis and Roseanne both worse than Fergie, considerably.
Yeah.
I mean, hers was just bad.
Roseanne's was intentionally bad.
Right.
But also, someone asked Roseanne to sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Kind of get what you deserve
there. Yeah, exactly. I learned something this weekend. Remember we were talking about our Uber ratings?
Yes.
I learned something that, not because I did it, because the Uber driver told me what she gives people a bad score for.
Not tipping now.
Well, not tipping is one, but another one is slamming the door when you leave.
Really?
Yeah. She said that's, says that is really irritating to Uber drivers.
Okay.
When you slam their door or slam their trunk when you get stuff out of it. So I never knew that.
I never knew that either.
And I was very careful not to slam anything after that. So I learned a valuable lesson.
Well, I mean, this is just me putting myself in the shoes of an Uber driver. I would be more annoyed if my ride got out and, you know, walked away and my door open light was still on.
Yeah, that would be more annoying because you have to get out and do it.
Right.
But slamming it apparently is...
That's big on their note.
Yeah, which I've never even thought about. So that's probably why I have a 4.7 and not, you know, a higher score.
Sorry, Fred.
But I brought my numbers up a little bit. I got a couple of 5 stars on this trip.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. But...
are you checking it constantly now?
Well, I'm paranoid about it. Yeah, because I want to know which one gave me a bad score.
That's so
I can hunt them down and kill them. Or, you know.
You shouldn't say that.
Well, I'm not going to. They're in Chicago. What
right.
the hell? It's not like I could find them.
Yeah. You never know.
I could just go back and change their score and give them a 1.
Chicago's the murder capital of the world. If that Uber driver winds up dead and they're like, oh, this dude gave Fred a 3.5.
I'm going to track him down now.
Yeah.
I have one thing, though, that I'm kind of bothered by. And I don't know how much you've had.
Get it off your chest, man.
That you've had to deal with, but. Almost everything certainly in Terminal E now and Terminal C at Bush is automated. Like, even at the bar, you have to order on the screen.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
That's the wave of the future. I get that. But can you just give me one bar where I can go and sit and talk to a human being?
Yeah.
I do not like that. It's not, and I get it's real convenient, and but you're also kind of replacing people with machines.
No, somebody's got to bring the drink.
Yeah, but you don't need as many people.
I don't know, because at a bar, the same person you ask for the drink goes and gets you the drink.
Well, but there's only one guy there. You know, usually you'd have two, or for a bar that packed, you'd have two, maybe even three bartenders. And
service is still so slow, too.
It's brutal. And I get it. I get that sort of direction we're heading, and everybody thinks it's cool. But, man, it's to me, a bar is a social place. You want to, it's a people business.
You like cheers.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I like that I went into one of my home bars the other night.
Honestly, this kind of bar normally would be better for someone like me. And if it didn't go so slow, I would prefer it.
Yeah, see.
Because I don't need a bunch of small talk. I just want my beer.
But I like to be able to, well, for one thing, if I want a drink made a certain way, can't really do it there. You know,
it's true.
It's like if I say, hey, I want a tall Jack and water, but I only want, you know, an ounce of water in a tall glass. That way I get more alcohol out of it. So I know the tricks. See, I can't do that. And, you know, I guess I'm There's a lot of things where I love technology, but
this isn't one of them.
Yeah, I just think it's gone too far. Just give me one bar there, old school, where I can go in and sit and, you know, have a single serving friend like in Fight Club, where you talk to them for, where are you going? Oh, going to Boston. All right, yeah, I'm going to Peoria. Whatever. Yeah. Just so you have a few minutes to chat, because sometimes you meet somebody interesting, and then I use them in fiction later.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Didn't work out
but
here.
This is just another part.
Maybe you need to start writing fiction about robots in the future.
That's what's coming. We know Judgment Day is coming.
Here's an idea. So the robot that takes your drink order is part of a computer system that is basically learning everything about you. And
it's called Facebook.
No, I'm talking about like how you like your drinks. You know, everything that you like to do, all of your habits are being taken, information is being taken down by these computers. And they're going to build a Fred clone, kill you, and have evil Fred in its place.
But that Fred's a computer. It's not a clone. They're going to do it as a computer. That's how they take over the world.
Well, yeah, sort of. But they will still make a robot Fred that looks really, really like you.
Right.
Probably a little bit sharper angles than what you have. Yeah. No offense.
Yeah. Probably a little better physical condition.
Right. But, I mean, well, he will be a robot. But he will also, like, some people, like your wife, won't even know the difference. Because she's going to be like, oh, well, Freddie drinks the tall Jack and water with just an ounce of water. And so this has got to be my Freddie.
She ignores me enough that she wouldn't know the difference anyway. Oh, I forgot you were there.
Yeah.
You haven't washed clothes this week. Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN. Should we try this? Should we try OU Mike?
Oh, we could try.
Let's give it a shot. What's up, OU Mike?
Fred kind of wants it to be like Cheers and a sex bar at the same time. You know, it's good to go where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I think we should go to break on that.
No, I don't think it's time to go to break.
Sure it is.
Is it? Is this our normal time?
5:11, right?
Do I have something to read here?
No.
Do you?
No.
Okay, let's go to break then.
Yeah. Just on that note, let's talk some Brian Cushing when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Started a stranger, a lover in danger, the edge of life.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. If you go to sportsmap.com, Barry Laminack has a video on Fergie. Says Fergie was less patriotic and more lounge singer. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but it's on the site. I made that the new main thing.
The main thing.
He says, oh, you Mike sounds like he wears a bolo and a Who Farted t-shirt. It's Jared.
That's probably about right. But it's hard to wear a bolo with a t-shirt.
It is. Although, some people can pull that off. Fergie did respond to her criticism. I don't know if you saw that.
Better be a long response.
No, pretty short. It says, I'm a risk taker artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone.
You could say that. Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. You'd say, okay, maybe I sucked.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to come out and be like, yeah, I just wasn't any good. But honestly, I don't know how. Risk-taking is fine, but that just seems like a bad time to take a risk.
Yeah. The national anthem's not when you go out and try to do something.
Don't take creative, you know. Like Jimi Hendrix, when he did what he did with his guitar.
Yeah.
I honestly, if that would have gone poorly, I mean, people would have given him crap. He just happened to do, like, he's the one guy who took creative control with the anthem, and it was like, okay, that was good.
Yeah.
Everybody else who's ever tried
pretty much failed.
It's a fail.
But that's,
you should have known that.
That's a problem though, because one guy succeeded, people still try.
Yeah.
Think, oh, I'm gonna be just like this. Never works. 713-780-ESPN. So report out that Brian Cushing will be whacked. I don't think any surprise there.
None at all. I mean,
I don't know what took
him so long.
Honestly,
surprised he lasted this last season. I wouldn't have blamed him if they cut him last season. This season, like, we pretty much, it was understood that that was going to happen. Like, financially, it wouldn't have made any sense to keep him.
Right.
Because there's no penalty now.
No, and they're actually pretty good at that position. He really hasn't been the same player in a long time. And you throw a 10-game suspension on top of it. He's pretty much useless.
Yeah.
And you save $7.6 million on your cap. You can use that for another offensive lineman.
Yeah. Listen, I think Brian Cushing, and this is one thing that will be missed by that dude, is even in the years where, like, Brian Cushing was the vocal leader of that team for quite a while. Like, remember when Andre Johnson was, like, clearly the leader of the Texans?
Yeah.
But he wasn't a vocal guy. Like, Brian Cushing was that guy. He's like a heart and soul guy, and he's a great guy to have in the locker room, but he's just not the player that he was. He's now been busted multiple times. It's just.
Well, let me ask you about some other guys. Would you consider cutting Jeff Allen? Here's what you save. 4.8,
okay.
2.5 in dead money.
Here's where I hesitate to cut him, because, and I don't think Jeff Allen's good, but Jeff Allen is currently one of your starters on a bad offensive line. I don't know how many of those holes you're going to be able to fill. And I think Jeff Allen is like kind of middle of the road on.
When he's healthy, he's actually pretty decent.
Right.
But he hasn't been healthy since he's been here.
But, like, think about if you said, okay, priority offensive line 1 through 5, Nick Martin's a pretty clear fifth. Center is a clear fifth, because Martin and Mance are probably your two best offensive linemen, period.
Right.
And that's your starting and backup center. And Manx can probably play guard.
Right. I think Martin could too.
Right. Either one of them could. So you've got two good guys there. Let's say you've got one guard spot taken care of. Suofilo, to me, is priority one to replace. He's the worst.
Well, he's a free agent. Let him walk.
Obviously. But I'm just saying that left guard is a disaster. Left tackle now, I mean, if the season started tomorrow, is Chris Clark your starting left tackle?
He better not be. You got to go get somebody in free agency.
So
whether it's Nate Solder, I mean, you're going to have to spend some money there. You're going to have to go get one of the top two or three guys.
Okay, and then what's right tackle going to look like next year?
That's a good question, because I think you also have to go out and look at bringing somebody in. And my other question of who would you cut, Derek Newton?
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you?
Because I don't know if he would save you $2 million.
Who saves you more, Derek Newton or Jeff Allen if you cut him?
Jeff Allen.
I might cut Jeff Allen then.
Yeah, because with Newton, you have 1.5 in dead money, you save $2 million. With Allen, you save 4.8 with 2.5 in dead money. So, and you've waited on Newton for 2 years. Now, I just don't think he's going to be any good.
I kind of don't either.
Blowing out both knees and being gone for 2 years.
So, but, I mean, that's why I think I might be sticking to, I'd cut Derek Newton. I mean, obviously, I don't want Bruno Giacomini to be the right tackle either.
Right.
There's no real, aside from that center spot, and maybe if you want to use Manx and say two of those guys are your starting linemen, I think the other three spots all need to be addressed. But I think Jeff Allen may be, like, lowest on the priority list.
As far as getting rid of?
Getting rid of.
Yeah.
Or, like, replace. I think those two tackles, they have to be replaced. And obviously, they're going to need a left guard. So I think Jeff Allen might be the guy I keep. And then if he's healthy, you play him. If he's not healthy, you play Manx there or Martin there, whichever one. But you need a new left tackle, a new left guard, and a new right tackle.
And maybe know, maybe Julian Davenport winds up becoming your right tackle, or maybe a draft pick becomes your right tackle.
That could happen.
If you move up. So I don't think it's that impossible, but they're going to have to invest some money in a real left tackle. I mean, could have kept the one they had, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Well, but then money-wise, they might be in a different spot right now. They wouldn't have as much money to spend.
Yeah, but they're going to have money to spend, so they should – and they should spend
but
it on the
But here's what
line.
I will say. You're not getting – there's not going to be a left tackle out on the market, more than likely, that's better than Dwayne Allen – or, I mean, Dwayne Brown.
Probably not. Like I said, I think Nate Solder's going to be the best guy out there. I don't think he's better. I mean, I think they're kind of in the same category. Brown's a little bit better, but – I think he'd be a substantial upgrade over what you have.
And what are you going to have to pay? Are you going to have to pay Nate Solder the same money you didn't want to pay Dwayne Brown?
Probably so. He is a couple of years younger.
Yeah.
There's that. And, you know, who knows about Brown? He'll be 30 this year. He turns 30 in April. So he's still got something left. And he obviously is somebody who understands whatever it is Bill O'Brien's trying to do on offense.
And Nate Solder won't put his fist up for the anthem.
And there's that too. But
yeah, when you really think about how bad the offensive line situation is, I mean, obviously last year it was really bad, but now with Dwayne Brown gone and free agency coming up, like, it's such a mess.
Yeah. But I mean, I think there is the potential to, you can't fix the whole thing, but there's a potential to get better there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they should.
They almost have to get better. Like, it's almost addition by subtraction with some of these guys.
Yeah, and
like you're not going to get worse at left guard.
No,
I don't like. I mean, so if let's say
you could throw some of the cats they were throwing out there.
Who's the kid they drafted last year in seventh round?
The Fuller kid,
Kyle Fuller. Yeah, Kyle Fuller. He'll be better automatically. Like
than Suofilo was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mott says Texans will have to overpay for O line, and no one should be surprised. I don't think anyone should care. You should overpay.
Yeah, overpay.
Go
I don't
get
care.
A guy.
And I don't care if you overpay there either. Because the last thing you want is David Quesenberry to be a starting offensive lineman next year. David Quesenberry is like a good story. I'm all for. But as like an actual contributing player, no.
Well, before the Cushing cut, you've got $56 million in cap space.
Now you got some more.
Now you're going to be sitting on close to $64 million.
Good for them.
And yeah, I don't think you bring back Jonathan Joseph unless you get him cheap.
I think there's almost zero chance they bring him back.
And you're going to have to invest in one of those guys, too. And there are some pretty good corners that aren't going to be, you know, they're not going to be $15 million a year guys. I think there's some guys you can get in the 8
yeah,
or 9 range.
I'm with you on that. And I think safety is a position they should look to address in the draft. Corner is something they should look to address in free agency.
Yeah.
And whatever we're, you know, and when we're talking about all this, what we still need to remember is, all this cap room that we're talking about is fine and good, but let's keep in mind that Jadeveon Clowney is going to have to get paid, and that's going to take up a nice little chunk eventually. They can't just go spending willy-nilly like they don't have guys to pay eventually, because Jadeveon Clowney is going to get paid a few years down the road. I mean, God willing, the Texans will give Deshaun Watson another contract. God willing.
Yeah.
So they can't just go crazy, but they do need a lot of things right now. I bet they're wishing that they hadn't spent a bunch of stupid money on tight end. And just,
well, speaking of that, you can cut Ryan Griffin, too.
Cut him.
Yeah.
And hopefully C.J. Fedorowicz retires, and then you have Steven Anderson and some seventh-round draft pick as your tight ends. Cool.
All right.
When can you cut Jay Prosh?
Never.
Done with Jay Prosh.
Mm.
The only one playing with this freaking dinosaur fullback. I don't get it.
All right. We got to take a break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 5:30 on Monday. Time for the legend that is Lance Erline. What's going on, man?
I want to interview you guys today. You ready? I'm going to start with you, Fred. Are you ready?
Sure.
So I had a situation. I was at my poker spot the other day.
Poker?
At Prime. I don't know if you heard, but it's legal now. It's legal now.
What?
Yeah. You can get in a club. You get a membership.
I'll be damned.
So anyway,
white people only?
It's for everybody.
One of those clubs?
No. It's for everybody.
That other club you tried to get me to join with you that was like where we wear the hoods and stuff. I was like,
you can't even joke about that because I've got people who are ready to try to get me fired from the NFL just because I don't like, you know, one of their college players because I made fun of Johnny Manziel one time.
That was a joke. No, Lance didn't really try to recruit me to the Klan. I think there's a standing offer, but he's not tried to recruit
me. I thought the joke was funny. But, you know, you're not allowed to be funny anymore. It's 2018.
That's true.
Let's cut the funny and stick to sports, guys. So let's talk about poker. So I was in a matchup, and I had ace-king, and I'm at a table, and I knew the other side was a little loose, the other side of the table. So I got ace-king. And or ace queen, the board flips.
What was the action preflop?
The action preflop. I raised and he called.
What was your position?
I was like fourth position, and I raised with ace queen. It was nine people at the table. I didn't want a ton of action. If you were in, I wanted you in, but I didn't want a bunch of people to see a flop. And only four people stayed.
Okay, so you got four people with ace queen.
Four people counting you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four counting me and ace queen. It's a pretty good position. The table, so it comes out.
What'd you do, like min raise?
No. I raised like three times.
Okay.
I raised three times. I raised the big, so it was just a 1-3 game. So I took it to 30.
Okay.
I took it to 30. It's not bad. I mean, enough.
It's a healthy raise, though.
That should chase off more than
And if there's four people playing, I'm like, man, there's some strong hands at this table.
Well,
right now.
That's what I thought. And then the board came like queen, 9-4. And I'm like,
no, you're feeling good.
I fire. I get two guys who fire back and one folds. Okay.
They raise?
No. They call my bet. I didn't make it a huge one, but enough, like 25.
Okay.
And then...
Is it a rainbow board, or there are two clubs, two hearts?
It was rainbow.
Okay.
No. There were two clubs.
Okay.
So I knew a flush was potential. Then it comes a diamond, not worried about the flush on the turn.
What was the card?
And it was a six.
Okay.
So we got a nine, a six, a four, and a queen. And now we're just one flush.
Did you bet that?
Yeah, bet that again.
And both guys stayed.
One guy raised, and I called.
Okay. The other guy folds?
The other guy calls all. It wasn't a six. It wasn't a six. It was a five.
Okay.
So I was like, no straight, no flush. Like, I think I'm good here unless somebody caught a set, and I think they'd be betting it differently. Okay. I think they would have bet it differently.
I would have checked the turn.
So we're talking 4-5-9 queen.
You know, I might have actually checked the turn, but somebody bet it though, because I remember I was in too. So I think I did check it. Somebody bet it, and then no. Somebody bet it. I raised it. That guy called, and then this other guy calls.
Okay,
you shouldn't have raised
the
that.
The board comes six. The board comes six, and this guy goes. I say I'm all in.
Oh boy. Look at you, Stonesy.
Yeah. And this guy calls me. This other guy calls too. The other guy has
one of them have kings?
He has a queen. He has a queen like seven.
Okay.
Like dummy.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. So I beat him. So he and I split that part of it. The other guy who went all in, who really didn't have many chips left, he catches two pair, nine and six. He caught a second pair on the river. Like, there had been some pretty decent bets. Like, why is that idiot in?
Why is he even in
on nines and sixes? Not, it's not suited either. So what I was going to ask you is, while it pissed me off, my opinion is I can't get too mad because I was actually playing with Granado. He's at the table. He's giving me these looks like, what an idiot. And I just thought I would rather play at tables like that where you know. Now, you got to be a little bit more – you can't really out-poker anybody. But when you get your hands, you can make more money that way, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. That's exactly the table you want. But you also don't want to get all your chips in with one pair in that situation. If you've got those kind of loose players,
mm-hmm.
then 9-6. If they're calling you with 9-6,
then then you. But see, that's okay because that's where you trap. That's where you keep the pot under control when you've only got one pair. But then when you do get the nuts, that's when you that's when you go after them and reel them in like that and get all your chips in.
So I'd rather play at a table like that. And there were two guys that were really loose at the other end. I mean, they were in on everything. So I just thought, while it is disconcerting because you never know what they have, the flip side of that is when you get the hand, they're going to pay you off.
Yeah. Well, Fred and I, when we play together in Vegas, we can kind of tell who the people are. They're firing at every single pot. Yeah. And you know those guys. And you're like, the key is just wait until
– be tight.
You've got – the nuts. And honestly, like ace queen, if they raised you there, I would have been like, no, you have it. Because I would, I mean,
I'd already watched these guys play, so I knew my hand. I was the one that raised, and they just called.
Okay.
They didn't raise me.
Yeah, because I thought you said that, like on the turn, they raised.
Oh, on the turn. No, somebody bet it, and I raised it.
Oh, yeah.
I check raised, or maybe I just check called, but I was in.
Yeah, okay.
And I knew I figured I had best hand. But, you know, if you just sit there and feel like you're going up against a set every single time, it'll just drive you crazy.
No, but you could have been going up against kings. I mean,
I could have. I read the table right. One guy caught a lucky card on the river that he shouldn't have been in on anyway, because I bet it enough that he should have been out.
Yeah.
I could have seen Jack 10 there with an open-ended. I could have seen a flush draw there. And
I never saw that.
I could see why you would be, you'd feel like you were good at the river, but one pair of hands for all my chips, I'm not going to do. Even again, especially against guys like that, because they could easily be sitting on queen five or queen nine.
Queen five is my favorite good luck. Do you have a good luck hand? Queen five's just been my hand for whatever reason.
Whichever one I win with is my
Fred. Fred likes to play he gets in on a lot of plots with like two random ass cards that have nothing to do with each other.
Well, no, that's
I like to do it
like
from time
7-8
to time.
7-8 or something like that.
7-8 suited.
I like one gappers. I like suited one gappers and hands like that. Where if I can get in cheap and see a flop and catch something that's going to snap
absolutely.
You. And if I miss, I'm gone. It's pretty easy.
I'll sit around sometimes for 45 minutes and not play a hand.
So you got to have the hold cards.
I'm looking for something decent to play with because I at least want to have
I'll take a shot with suited connectors and one gappers as well if it doesn't cost me a lot.
Yeah, I'm not calling a $30 raise with it.
But here's what I'll do. If like six people are in, if somebody straddles and it's a $6 bet and they all, and let's just say they all, like there's six people in, well, I'll take a shot at that. I mean,
if I'm the straddle, I'll probably raise it in that situation, no matter what I have. If I get six callers,
I'll
I like to straddle, so I'll usually.
What's the purpose of it? I didn't even know what it was
going, and it's really good for when you've got a tight table where people aren't playing. It's a good way to get action going.
Okay, all right, I see. That makes sense. I didn't even know what it was until just recently.
But in a cash game, I'm going to be a lot different than I am in a tournament. I'm a lot tighter in a tournament, except for. Like I said, I'll play a wider range of hands cheaply early if I can, if I can get in good with 3-5 of clubs against, a pocket pair or ace king or something like that, and catch the right flop, get paid off, or I get the hell out. Mm-hmm. In a cash game, I'm more willing to play a wider range of hands because, especially at a loose table, because if you do flop the nuts, you're going to get paid big time.
No question. Here's my question for you.
All right.
How did Bellator get bit? Like, what is the Bellator phenomenon over the last 3 months? It seems like everyone, and I saw you doing it the other day too, right?
You saw me doing what?
Tweeting about Bellator. Why is everyone talking about Bellator all of a sudden?
Well, Bellator's doing that heavyweight tournament, and they're... Bellator's there. I don't know who they're marketing
Bellator's
to exactly.
Bellator's MMA company.
Yeah, I don't know who their target audience is.
Old school but UFC fans?
I think that's a lot of it.
They got the legends, some of the legends of UFC.
Yeah, like I was interested to watch Roy Nelson and Matt Mitrione because it was two guys I knew.
And I think you tweeted about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had some chick boxers on before, two fights before that, had no business fighting in an MMA cage. It was embarrassing. Even to watch on television, it was sad. And then they had one of the Pitbull brothers, like Patricky Pitbull, fought and dominated some dude. And then they had that fight. And
who are
it was
the Pitbull brothers? I don't even
know
them.
They're the two dudes that they're two brothers who have been fighting in Bellator, like are hardcore loyalists to Bellator.
Oh, okay.
Bellator has about five guys. Michael Chandler's one. These Pitbull brothers that have been around for their organization for kind of a long time. Eddie Alvarez used to be one.
Oh, did he?
And that's who they built their company on. And one of those guys fights on every card. Every card. I mean, they've These guys fight a lot.
How much can they make? I mean, is it financially solvent, the company?
I don't know. I can't imagine they're doing that great. I just can't picture it. But I think every once in a while they get, like with these like this heavyweight tournament they're doing, they've got Fedor fighting in it. They had Rampage Jackson, Chael Sonnen, Frank Mir. Like,
I mean, those are big names. It's just like watching, you know, a Legends game.
Yeah.
Where you think you're all excited, yep. And you watch them, you're like,
I love watching
people that aren't playing at their highest level.
Why did I do that?
Yeah.
And like I was watching this fight and I was like, well, whoever wins the Bellator tournament is probably like, okay, you're like the 10th best heavyweight in the world.
You know,
awesome.
So
but
guys,
I want to watch Fedor fight.
Do you guys understand the e-gaming phenomenon?
I don't get it at all.
You don't get it, right?
None.
Do you get it, Fred?
I don't, but people are into it.
And this is, so for me, this was, I guess, 2003 or four. 2003. I was living in Nashville, and I was in, this is back when they did really big Madden tournaments, and I was really into Madden, and I was very competitive.
Right.
And this was one of the years where they were doing the finals on the big screen at Times Square.
Oh, wow.
And I was like in this tri-state tournament. It's like Tennessee, Kentucky, and some other state. And I made it to the finals.
Were the rules? Like, who did you pick? Like, who was your team? Did you have flip to see who would get the...
You could basically pick whoever you wanted to pick.
Okay.
Like, you both picked the team. The only thing they wouldn't allow is if you picked the same team. So if you both submitted for the same team, they would say, neither of you can be that team. Pick another team.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the final. I lost in the finals. But I was like pretty serious into that game. I spent a lot of time playing.
So how do
that.
You not get gaming then?
Because I don't get watching other people
do
yeah. it.
I don't either. No, I don't either.
My like, as into it as I was, I can't imagine watching. Like, when you play with your boys, the worst feeling is not having a stick in your hand.
I know.
You're sitting there watching them play.
But you want to get – so we were playing a game. Now, this is before gaming was really gaming. This is on an Apple IIe when we were – it was called Lance Hafner Boxing. And this is when we were – I was in Austin, and my buddies were going to school at UT, and I had, like, dropped out of Tulane and went over to live with them for about 5 or 6 months. And we had this – my buddy had this old-school Apple IIe, but there was a simulation game called Lance Hafner, and he did a college football game. It was one of those – you don't really see the action. Like, it wasn't built on graphics. It was built on – you choose – it simulates – it was a simulator. So you could pick the greatest boxers of all time, and then you matched, like we would match them up. So we started drafting boxers in different divisions, and we would have these tournaments where we're managing.
It's almost like fantasy sports.
We manage, but we say, okay, work the body. You do whatever. This round, what do you want to do? And you could say work the body, work the head, go for knockout, fight defensively, whatever it was. And you had like six different strategies. And it almost caused two of my really good friends today a fist fight because one of them had a championship fight coming up against me he had a championship fight and he wanted Michael to take me down. And it looked like he was going to get the upset. And then, you know, he thought that he didn't do a very good job of managing his fighter.
Training his guy.
Yeah, and then George Foreman ended up knocking out his fighter and – He's like, that's a mismanagement special because we wanted the perfect matchups. We were in a house, you know, drinking half the time, watching at that time the Playboy Channel, which somebody actually got a subscription to, which is a big deal. Like somebody had a subscription. We're not watching through the lines.
That's true.
I mean, we're living the life.
That's good living.
Basically, this was good living.
What,
I mean,
you guys have a mini fridge?
There was no food. We had grilled cheese was as
ramen.
Good as ramen with spaghetti sauce if you really want to go hardcore.
Fancy.
And then grilled cheese, and if somebody was able to take it to the next level, they got a package of, you know, ham, sliced ham, so you throw in your grilled cheese or some cinnamon toast.
Chop up a hot dog into your ramen.
That's exactly it. But, the e-gaming thing to me is interesting because I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if you could see Rampage still in his prime, you know, take on not even Rampage. You could just say Sakuraba. You'd like to see Sakuraba fight somebody from you know, maybe what's his name? God dog it. Who beat Michael Bisping.
Okay.
Bisping and Sakuraba. Just some random matchups. If you could see them in their prime. And theoretically, you could do that on a UFC or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But if they, you know, if they could ever capture that essence to where it felt like a real fight, that would be just – that would just be amazing if they could do that. And my kids have learned basketball history through playing 2K. They know who all these players are now. They know who all of them are. They also watch these dumbasses who make millions. And I'm jealous. I'll be the first one to tell you. They're making more than any of us are making by playing Minecraft all day and having kids like my kids watch them play Minecraft. And I don't.
Well, here's why I
don't get that.
I get it, and here's why.
You do?
Because I will sit there and watch Poker After Dark for hours on end. And it's no different. It's somebody else playing something that I like to do.
Yeah.
And I learn from it. So this is just, if they're in.
No, you're right. That's the argument that they made. I made the mistake of making that comment. Like, I can't believe my kids sit and watch other people play video games. And I got deluged with gamers who are like, and they came at me. And when they used that argument, they said, because they just read my bio and said, you like watching football or fantasy football or the NFL draft. Because I'm like, yeah, but. You know, I'll go play. I'd rather play the video game myself or actually go outside and play basketball or whatever the case may be. And they said, how is it different than you watching your football players? How is it any different? I said, because these guys are competing at a high level. And they said, so are these gamers are competing at a higher level that's beyond anyone else. They are the Michael Jordans of. And they started making an argument. I was like, God, I hate to say it, but just because I can't wrap my mind around ever wanting to do it, they actually made a cohesive point.
I don't think it's applicable when you talk about watching football, but I do think when you're talking about something like poker, it is.
And I hate to watch poker on television.
Do you really?
I hate it. I hate it. I just don't have time for it.
I used to love watching Van Patten and Marty. What was his name? The one who talks like this?
Mike Sexton.
Mike Sexton. Whenever they used to be on, was it USA?
Price of Poker just got higher.
It was on USA. It was in the early 2000s.
You know, you can still see them doing World Poker Tour stuff, but you have to get into the 600s on DirecTV.
It's way down the line.
Yeah. And so I stopped watching it. I stopped watching it. But now that I started going over to Prime, I saw it was on the 2017 World Series last night, and I started watching it again. I was like, I got back into watching it a little bit. I don't seek it out. But.
It's funny. I can sit in I used to read a lot of poker books. And I can read about poker hands all day and like picture how it goes, but like watching it on television, I'm like,
I like being able to see the reactions because you can pick up so much. A person will tell you what their hand is by how they bet and how they look.
Yeah.
And that's why when you're asking me a question like that, and that's why I could never write a poker book. If I'm sitting at the table and seeing how they're playing, I could tell you much. I could tell you after the hand exactly.
You
what
didn't
happened.
Like playing online.
No, I love playing online because same thing. People will tell you what they have by how they bet.
I felt like that, too. Everyone tells me you can't do it unless you're in brick and mortar. I'm like, it's funny. There's a rhythm that develops with online, and you can – it's hard to explain. So you know what I'm talking about. You can tell weakness. You can recognize weakness even without no chat functions or anything.
But they'll show you strength in the size of the bet. They'll show how much they delay before they bet. Like sometimes if a guy's got a big time hand, he'll try to wait till the very end to make it look like he's thinking and he's really not. I mean, there's all kinds of online tells.
I better not play with you because that's my move. Give me the old like if somebody bets into me and I'm like, I check the cards, like, God.
Yeah.
Why did you, and I even say, what did you play? Why are you in this hand? Call. I'm sitting there, done. It's 100% me.
AJ is really good when he flops a hand like that and making it look like he totally missed. He'll come at you with a bet, and then he'll do the hand on his head.
I'm a gamesman, Lance.
Sell it.
I talk a lot at the table. Like,
I'm not good enough to fold this one.
Yeah,
and he's got nothing.
I'm like an over the top showman at the poker table, and. Like it's kind of it's obviously strategic because I don't want to talk to these people in real life.
Not clearly from the last 2 months, I know that for a fact.
But I do talk a lot at the poker table. I talk about what's probably in their hand, and sometimes I'll just say, I think this is what you've got. I don't know how many times, but this happens a lot. I'll tell people exactly what's in my hand. Like they'll be sitting there thinking real hard about calling, and I'll say, okay, I've got top two pair. So if you want to call. You need to have trips. Otherwise, just fold and let's keep the
You'll
game
do
going.
That?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And sometimes people.
Do you have it?
Yeah. Okay. I almost always.
Because if
tell
somebody
the truth.
Calls you, it sets a tone anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And
although sometimes he'll tell you that and he has better than that. He'll have a set.
Yeah. Oh, will you?
Yeah. But
he's always got at least.
I never
that.
Have trash and like try to.
Is that considered legal to,
nah,
to?
You're not really supposed to talk about
that's,
that.
It's poor form. That's it's poor form.
Absolutely poor form.
That's poor form.
What are they going to do? They'll warn me.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than playing at a table where everyone's kind of, you know, kind of friendly. Everyone's getting along.
Oh,
and
not
then
me.
And then over the course of like an hour, 2 hours, people move in and out. And then you realize early on, oh, we got one of these guys at the table.
Dude,
whole energy.
I have no tolerance for slow play. Like someone who has to like take 2 minutes to think about their hand every single time. Like. Dude, you either want to play.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, yes.
See, I've noticed pit bosses aren't about that right now. They want you running cards. And, yeah. They'll let you think about stuff, but they want the dealers run the cards. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, that's what I want. I want it to be like online where I'm already ready to play the next hand.
Yeah.
I got a penalty once at a circuit event in New Orleans for telling a guy to hurry the bleep up, or I was going to call the clock on him. I had to sit out an entire round, yeah.
What's a round? A round of all the...
Yeah, yeah. I've been penalized twice in my life. Once for that, and once when a guy sucked out on me big time, and I was basically all in, and I had a set of threes, and you caught runner straight, and I said, you got to be bleeping kidding me, and I got a 10-minute penalty for dropping the F-bomb at the table.
I cuss all the time.
And I was about to be big blind, so I was going to be out anyway, because I'd lost a hand, but yeah, that was... They're a little more tolerant now.
I didn't even say
it that loud. I kind of said it under my breath. I was kind of like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable, unless you wasn't a dealer. You weren't going after the dealer.
No, but the dealer was kind of a dickweed.
Oh, okay.
So,
I've heard there's some local players who go after
dealers. Yeah, see, that, to me, going after, you know, it's not the dealer's fault.
No.
I mean, it never is. It's your fault for how you played it, or it's just bad luck. See, of course, it took me a long time to get there. I used to be kind of a jerk, too.
Poker and MMA today, see?
Yeah.
And we expanded.
It's the best of both worlds.
You haven't got your draft stuff done yet. That's why you got 37 more guys.
Did you watch the UFC fights last night?
No, I didn't get to.
Oh, you missed out some good fights.
Who was the best fight?
Probably Derek Lewis's fight. Derek's
local,
it was,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was looking poor for Derek, and he came back late in the third and knocked the dude out. And then Cerrone Medeiros didn't go a full round, but it's about as good of a 4-minute fight as you could ask for.
Yeah.
And Cerrone knocked him out. So it was a good night of fights, man. Pretty good, pretty solid crowd.
We'll have to talk about that a little bit more because Fred and I've sat by each other right next to the cage. AJ and I've sat right next to each other by the cage, and I've been able to do that probably about 4 or 5 times in my life, and it is a game changer. Like,
oh, yeah.
You have never seen anything like it sitting up close to a UFC or boxing event.
Right.
It's just different.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.